going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets here at FTN. Chris Mean here with you as we bring in one of my favorites, probably my favorite, let's be honest. We were chatting in the green room before we got on. Joe's a busy guy, and really appreciate you stopping by here today. Joe Pisapia, 17 on the X Machine, formerly Twitter, you guys know. Of course, the man behind Fantasy Pros, rocking the shirt. He's got the baseball podcast. He is the host over at Fantasy Pros and Betting Pros. You can also catch him on Sports Grid TV. And the man behind the fabulous Fantasy Black Book series, over 500 player profiles, over 100 prospect profiles, relative position value. Get yours today at Amazon.
Seriously.
How's it going, Joe? Welcome in.
It's going great. I'm exhausted just listening to you list all these things that I'm doing. So I definitely should take tomorrow off. I think that's what I'm going to do. Just nothing tomorrow. Just it's St. Patty's Day celebrations everywhere. Maybe I'll go have beverage or seven. But yeah, man, it's great to see you as always. You're always likewise one of my favorite people to talk to. And it was a doubly busy week, one of the biggest draft prep weeks for MLB, on top of the best NFL free agency, I think, ever. I mean, can we say that? Yeah, I think we can. It was pretty awesome. So a lot going on in the world of sports. And of course, thank goodness the Mean Streets are here. Thank goodness.
Appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, it is a busy time, right? I mean, March Madness, those that follow the madness. And then, of course, St. Patrick's Day, you and I will be, we won't be together, but we'll be drinking.
I think we deserve it after this week. That's what I think.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. It's been a hell of a week. So you have, of course, all kinds of great content over at Fantasy Pros. You've been diving into mock drafts and stuff. I wanted to talk some starting pitchers with you. I know last year at this time, I think we got together and we rolled through the strategy of the first couple rounds. We talked some futures. So we're going to take a look at some of the pitchers, roughly top 50 or so, NFBC. Of course, you got Fantasy Pros in the expert consensus rankings, but I just took NFBC here over the past like week or so. Joe, of course, we have the latest here. I took some of the injuries and I just left them off the list. Whatever. Garrett Cole, rough go. Sounds like 10 to 12 weeks off the list. That's it. This is high stakes leagues. People are putting their money on the line. The average here of the top 12 pitchers, and you see the ADP here. So if you are not watching, I will just rattle these off quickly if you're listening on iTunes and Spotify. And I want to just get your strategy when it comes to starting pitchers here and how aggressive you'll be maybe with some of these names or if you're drafting offense early. So Spencer Strider, top of the board, of course, led baseball and strikeouts by a long shot. I think Kevin Gausman was not even close to him, number two. Strider, 6.65. I've seen him go as early as two, Joe. I've seen him not even go in the top 12 picks in the first round. Corbin Burns next, now a member of Baltimore. Zach Wheeler, Luis Castillo. We got Yamamoto there of the Dodgers, who's the favorite to win Rookie of the Year in the NL. Pablo Lopez, George Kirby, Tyler Glasnow. So two Dodger pitchers in the top 10. Zach Gallen, Kevin Gausman, who's really just fallen down draft boards with a dead arm. He did say he's expected to be ready for opening day, but we'll see what happens there. Tarik Skubal and Logan Webb. You're looking at this board. You are all about tiers and finding value at positions. What's your strategy when it comes to starting pitchers? How aggressive are you? And do you want to get one or two of those top 10 arms?
Yeah, I am one of those guys who's drafting offense early and often. I think there's a lot of value with guys further down this trough. You know, it's sort of the same strategy of last year, which was hit up those 1A guys, that grouping of guys that's in that second tier, and get a couple of them, two to three of them, if you can. Then I think that's the way to build a rotation. It was the names last year like Logan Webb, who you see on here now. It was some names that you kind of looked last year and that fell a little bit, you know, further than they should have. Freddy Peralta, another great example too of another name that lasted way too long. And I'm looking at this list, and you already see Garrett Cole out 1 to 2 months, but I mean, I think we're all banking on the year. It's just difficult to make this kind of a big investment. And I understand the NFBC, it's deeper leagues and different formats. And, you know, the dominance of a Spencer Strider, I understand. So if you can get him at the turn, that's great. But obviously that's tricky draft to do. Corbin Burns, you know, in a good situation here in Baltimore, certainly a little bit of a fresh start for him, which I think is probably a good thing. But, you know, Yamamoto, unproven. Castillo, very solid. I love Castillo. But do I want to pay the 32nd pick overall? I don't know if he moves the needle enough for me for that sort of draft capital when we're talking about some of the offensive players that are on the board. Zach Gallen, a guy who threw 243 innings last year combined. I'm terrified of Gallen this year. Gausman already having the dead arm. Tarik Skubal only threw 109 innings. They were brilliant, but again, 109 innings. So George Kirby, Tyler Glasnow, those are the guys that stick out to me in terms of, all right, we're pushing into the fourth round. Sometimes those guys last a little bit longer than they should. That's an interesting start if you want to start jumping into the starting pitcher pool. To me, I think that's a grouping where I'm looking for. Otherwise, when you start looking at Logan Webb and probably the next group of this slide of starting pitchers, I think that's where I'm more comfortable. Not to mention, you've got a great group of guys here that are going much later around pick 100 that I think have the upside to crack this top 12. And you can't say that every year, but last year you could. And I think this year you can as well.
Yeah, and here we go. I mean, outside the top 12, and I think as well, the strategy that you have is the same strategy that I have. It's just offense early and often. I just, again, I have nothing wrong with Spencer Strider. They're like, he's elite. I know that he slowed down in the second half. The strikeouts are certainly there, but you are just missing out, I think, on a lot of offense. And I showed the board earlier here. This is from a little while ago, but not much has really changed. You know, Ronald Acuna Jr., Bobby Witt Jr., Julio, Corbin Carroll, Mookie Betts playing a little bit of short there as well with the Dodgers, could have triple eligibility this year. Kyle Tucker, Fernando Tatis Jr., Freeman, Soto, Judge, Turner, Shohei's not even on this board. Look at these offensive studs here. Matt Olson, Bryce Harper, Alvarez, which you can get in the mid-second, is maybe one of the best hitters in baseball. Could lead the bigs in homers. It's just a lot of appealing bats here in the first 24 picks. And I've noticed that I think a lot of people have maybe a similar strategy as us, is that pitchers are kind of getting pushed down the board and then they're attacking them maybe in the third and the fourth round as their first arm. And then these are some of the options available to you. You mentioned Freddie Peralta, Framber Valdez, Aaron Nola, Max Fried. What do you make of these four arms all in a row at pick 57, 58 on average? Is this where you'd like to live for your SP1?
Love this group, Chris. I love Peralta. I think he has a chance, if Strider should befall an injury, to lead the National League in strikeouts this year. Aaron Nola, 200 strikeouts every single year. The ERA fluctuates, but some of the deeper stats will tell you that Nola's ERA should have been a little lower last year. Grayson Rodriguez, I think, is ready. You know, you're getting an opportunity here to take Grayson Rodriguez and Bobby Miller as almost the 20th pitcher overall. And I think both of those guys are ready to be fantasy aces now, and it's probably the last time you're going to get that. You can argue that Bobby Miller is the best return on investment of any Dodger pitcher, because you don't know what you're going to get out of Kershaw. You don't know what you're going to get out of the guys in the back end of the rotation. And then that front end, you're paying a premium. You're paying for Yamamoto to be that guy. And maybe he will be, probably, but it's not a lock necessarily. Not to mention, what kind of innings is he going to be able to throw you in the first year? Tyler Glasnow, brilliant last year, but again, that was a career high around 120 innings. This is not a guy who's going to throw 200 innings for you.
I look nervous
at that group and I'm thinking to myself, you know, you could throw in even names like Michael King, guys like Joe Ryan, that I think really have opportunities to outperform their ADP. So I think going for a guy like Peralta, Nola, and then bouncing it back again with Grayson Rodriguez or Bobby Miller, over to Cole Reagans too, is a very trendy pick nowadays. I think those are the guys that you're really sort of targeting. And then you're taking shots on guys like Musgrove, who pitches like an ace, was just a Cy Young candidate basically a few years ago, and last year was pitching like it before the injury. So I'm perfectly happy taking him. He's been good this spring. Hunter Brown has looked really good. Shane Bieber's looked really good. There's a lot of good arms, including Justin Steele, who gets overlooked every single year. Last year, he was one of my favorite sleepers. This year, he's going as the 26th pitcher. You could see here from the graphic. But Ryan, Steele, Musgrove, I mean, all three of those guys, if you just like went crazy pitching there around 100, I'm telling you, I think there's a lot of value to be had. Michael King might end up being the best pitcher in San Diego this year. I don't think that's a hot take. And Bieber said he's healthier than he's been in a long time, and that could be a huge difference maker for Cleveland.
Yeah, Bieber does seem like a nice discount. I think I have him in your keeper league for a few bucks. I've had him for a while, and I was hesitant at first, but then I'm like, you know what? I just got to take this guy. And especially in your league, just if you don't have a pitcher or two, you're just not going to be able to compete. You got to keep these arms. There's a couple that you mentioned there. One was Michael King. I got some notes on King because I am excited about him, and it's a relief return starter. He's got like four or five different pitches. And, you know, towards the end of last season, the Yankees were putting him in as a starter. And, you know, there was two starts in a row against the Jays. It was 13 innings, racked up 21 strikeouts and one earned run. And one of those outings, he had 13 strikeouts over seven innings. Like, he's got the double digit swinging strike percentage. So really excited about him. And then they just picked up Dylan Cease as well. And I think that, I mean, he's a little bit, I mean, he's got the high fly ball rate and the walks are maybe a little bit of an issue, but I think it's a better environment for him in San Diego than Chicago.
Well,
right?
Certainly,
I mean,
a better offensive environment,
better offense, like better run support,
better team. Yeah, look, all the way around. That's another thing too. The White Sox organization is just, you know, hot garbage right now, and they've got a lot of work to do to remake it. And it's not necessarily all their fault. I mean, they did things by the book the right way. They signed these young guys like Robert and Eloy Jimenez, and they, you know, they thought they were doing the right thing here. Just things have not worked out because of injuries, and Tim Anderson fell off a cliff last year. So yeah, Dylan Cease getting out of there, I think, is a good thing. The Padres are still a really good team, even without Soto. They still have a lot of offense, a good defense. As you mentioned, a decent ballpark factor for him too, probably an improvement. But this is a great grouping of pitchers there where you just feel really good. And I think this is why I attack this and build my rotations in this grouping, because again, you can go ahead, you could get those Peralta or Nola, then you can go to that next group and get a Bobby Miller or Grace Rodriguez. And then by the time you get into that next tier, you have a great group here. Again, I mentioned, you know, how high I am on Joe Musgrove again. This is a guy who's always going to give you a high strikeout percentage, good ERA and whip numbers. Tanner Bibee, another guy who's been terrific. I know everybody loves Reagans. I'm just a little afraid of what that innings grouping looks like for him.
Yeah,
but again, at 80, yeah, you're willing to take a risk on it. And you know, Blake Snell, it's nice to see him finally falling in ADP, because it's taken a long time for that to happen. He still hasn't signed. It's the 15th of March we're recording this. I just don't know, like, he's gonna be behind. There's no way around it. But again, Joe Ryan, Justin Steele, Joe Musgrove, I mean, these are guys along with Michael King that I think are all going to be terrific. And King was a starter in the minor leagues. King could probably go 165 innings this year without a problem. And also, when he made that move to the rotation, his K per nine, which is already elite, actually improved. So usually in the bullpen, that number is even higher. But that's how good he was as a starter last year. So the Yankees would certainly be liking to have him right now in that rotation after this Cole injury and the rest of the disaster that it looks like right now.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see what the Yankees do. I can't believe it. As you said, we're recording on March 15th, and you still have Montgomery and Blake Snell out there. And I'm hearing people, like, in the labor drafts and NL only and LO only, like, people are bidding bucks on these guys, not even knowing if they're going to sign with an American League team or a National League team. And my goodness, Blake Snell is linked to the Angels. Like, if he goes to the Halos, everything that happens with this Anaheim team is usually a disaster. So, I mean, I said that some sucker team would sign Blake Snell, just, and I said that kind of tongue in cheek, thinking that he's coming off a terrific season, and he has been a good arm, but injuries have been an issue, and also walks have been an issue. And I feel like if somebody was going to sign him to, I mean, I don't even know what the contract looks like now. Maybe it's short term. I'm sure he wanted something long term, and that's probably why he was hanging out there for so long, that teams are a little bit hesitant to hand him over all that money. But I'm waiting, like, the Yankees and all these other teams, like, and even those pitchers, like, what are you waiting for now? Like, it's it.
I don't know. Injuries, I mean, I think this is what they were waiting for. They were waiting for an injury and a desperation for somebody to overpay. And they very well might, but it could also be a one-year deal too. And they're right back out there again. I think it's crazy that the rumor that Montgomery was looking for 7 years, or any pitcher looking for 7 years, it's absurd. But I'm with you, man. I mean, this is what they waited for. They waited for something like a Cole incident, and they got it. Yeah. So now it's a matter of, can they get that deal done?
So Montgomery's cheaper, but would you draft Snell? Like, if you had a draft this weekend and Blake Snell's sitting there, you just pass him?
I'm not a big Snell guy anyway. And if you're talking about a guy in the 80s, again, I'd rather have Bobby Miller. I'd rather have Cole Reagans. Yuri Perez is fascinating. Look, Snell's done this before too. Look, he won the Cy Young a couple years ago and then was a disaster the following year. The walk rate was still very high last year. He was very efficient. Things worked out for him. But at the same time, I'm still looking at the guys right after him, Musgrove, Steele, Ryan. I'd rather have all of those guys starting from the jump than waiting for Blake Snell to, you know, get healthy. And how many times have we seen it, Chris, where, you know, guys are off their routine and don't have a normal spring or a normal situation, and it's not always a good spot for them. Yeah. Injuries end up happening, all kinds of stuff. So I don't like it at all. And this is, again, why I'm looking for the value return on investment in pitching, as opposed to trying to draft pitching early and grab that ace early, because when you do that, you miss out on so much of the elite offensive players. And I just don't want to be out of that pool.
Yeah. You miss out on a lot of 4-category, 5-category guys if you're drafting early, and there's not too many of those guys there. And again, just for the iTunes listeners here, we at 13 Peralta and then Valdez, Nola and Fried. I like that grouping of the four. Valdez, I think, is a better real life pitcher than maybe a fantasy guy. Logan Gilbert, Grayson Rodriguez. I agree. I think he's ready for the next step. I mean, Bobby Miller too, like, only 124 innings, but 119 strikeouts, only 32 walks, keeps the ball on the ground, high K numbers in the minors. Sub 4 ERA, great team, going to be run support there. Reagans is rising significantly. The second half was really nice. I worry about maybe the innings. Of course, you got the team there, but there is a high ceiling and there's some injury stuff in the past. Perez, I like Eflin. There's always seems to be a pitcher in Tampa Bay's organization that pops off in the past couple of years, McClanahan and some other injuries there. That have hurt. I mean, they've had a ton of injuries, Tommy John injuries inside the rotation, but Eflin was just rock solid. Sub two walks per nine the last 3 years, and an xFIP at just over 3, ERA 3.5, just over 4 the previous 2 years as well. Snell and Luzardo there. I love this range, and I think you touched on a lot of guys that I like. We already mentioned Dylan Cease going to San Diego, Joe Ryan, Justin Steele, I think is underrated. Joe Musgrove, some injuries last season to start, but he is actually a guy that I think I kept in years. Tanner Bibee, Chris Sale. What do you make of Chris Sale? Because that's a high risk, high reward kind of play. It seems like a lot of people like him. They're buying into the spring. He looks great, but Chris Sale has not been able to stay healthy over the past couple of years, man.
Yeah, I'm going to go younger here. I would pass on him for Bibee, for Ober, for King, all of those guys. Now, if he fell into that group, even Bieber, I would probably go ahead of him. But if he fell into that, 35-plus group outside of there, I think that's a range where I'm much more comfortable taking a shot on Chris Sale, because it's been a strange assortment of injuries too. And he is getting older. And look, if you're going to be in a spot, Atlanta's the spot to get right. Incredible offense, incredible defense. You can have the run support. You're going to have a winning ball club. So look, Chris Sale at 29 is still a little rich for me compared to the guys he's going in. But after those guys, again, after Bieber at 36, I think it's a great discussion. I just think that's a little early on Sale, despite the fact that even last year, with some of the trials and tribulations of his season in terms of health, the strikeout per nine was still very strong. So that's a good indicator for Sale. It's just not good enough for me to put him ahead of some of these younger guys. I'd rather go with the younger guys as opposed to a guy like Sale, who might be on the back end of his career at this point.
Yeah, King at 33, Hunter Green at 34, Merrill Kelly at 35, Shane Bieber there at 36, pick 144 on average. And then the last board here I have for you is we creep to pitcher 50, Sonny Gray with the Cards now, pick 145. Carlos Rodon of the Yankees, didn't see a whole lot from him last year, had the great year with the Giants, and then the Yankees paid for him, and it's been a mess. And I only saw one or two of his outings in spring, and it just didn't seem too good for him. Mitch Keller, a good season last year. Pirates paid for him. Amazing. Pirates usually don't hand out any money. We'll see how that plays out. Jose Berrios, Hunter Brown, I agree. You kind of alluded to him earlier. I think he's a good target. I just feel like last year was a complete disaster for him. When you look at just guys who had high ERAs and maybe low xFIP, like he had a 10 K per nine. The walks always seem to be an issue for him. Maybe he can clean that up, but a really low strand rate, which led to a 3.52 xFIP, and he had the 5.09 ERA. So I think he's due for a little bit of a bounce back. I like this range here at pick 168. Nick Pivetta's there, Bryce Miller, Christian Javier. Again, Jordan Montgomery, 175. No team there. Verlander's not going to be ready to start the season, 175 as well. Woo, and then Yu Darvish. Anyone on this list? Is it just really Hunter Brown that stands out to you? What about Javier? What's up with that guy? That guy was awesome a couple years ago.
Yeah, Javier is just the guy who's got to refine things a little bit. He's got to be more efficient too. He can't walk guys. He gets into trouble, but he's got electric stuff. So that's the guy that if he ever harnesses everything, he could make a big jump. And, spring doesn't mean a lot except for the guys that it means everything for. Hunter Brown, Christian Javier, those are guys that spring training matters. So good springs out of them goes a long way, making me feel comfortable giving them a shot again, especially because they're cheaper. Yu Darvish, last year he had bone chips in the elbow and he got those removed. And he said, he wasn't right all season. He's only 1 year removed from 197 strikeouts and a 3.10 ERA in a 16-8 season with a 0.95 whip. And the year before, he had 199 strikeouts. So it's like, if you're going to take a chance on Chris Sale and you want to, take a chance on an older pitcher, I'd rather be taking a chance on Darvish cheaper than Chris Sale. I mean, you're talking about a few rounds different. So that to me makes a lot more sense in terms of trying to look for the value. I'm with you on Rodon. It's terrifying to me. I just can't get there. Maybe it'll be fine. It'll be great. And he's just working through the kinks. That's possible. Brian Wu is interesting. I love that Seattle rotation. The depth is incredible. Yeah. Pivetta is interesting. There's also some guys on that Boston rotation that are going even deeper. Guys like Cutter Crawford and Garrett Whitlock, who all have strikeout ability. Brian Bayo. Like, the Red Sox pitching is a lot better than I think people realize. And if they could just stay competitive, the Red Sox might not be the doormat that people think they are. I'm just putting that out there for everybody, because if you look 1 through 5 in that rotation, if things do break right for them, it's better than a lot of other rotations in terms of depth. Now, not in terms of the top of the rotation of a Burns or a Gossman, if he's healthy, guys like that in that same division. But still, I think Brown, Javier, Verlander, again, intriguing, but the age is really solid on him. You're, you know, in their 40s, that's a tough time there. But Yu Darvish, yeah, to me is another one. If he's healthy, and it seems like he is, what a great opportunity to bounce back at, what, the 179th player overall? That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it does to me as well. I'm glad you mentioned the Red Sox guys, because Lucas Giolito goes down, but Cutter Crawford as well. I mean, the 49% fly ball rate last year led to 17 homers. He had the 6 ERA over 57 innings at home, but on the road, he had 2.49 ERA, 72 innings there. And the second half, opponent slash 198, 275, and 351. He finished the season with 7+ K in 4 of his last 5 starts and 5 of his last 7. So he was striking out some dudes. He's got a fastball that lives in the mid-90s, a slider, a cutter, a curve, a change. He's got some stuff, man. A 12.5 swinging strike percentage. I think he's a pretty decent target. And then you mentioned Bayo. I think maybe there's room for him to grow. I think also maybe potentially a better real life pitcher, but the opposite of Cutter, like 56% ground ball rate. I'm surprised he allowed so many home runs, and he had a 5.49 ERA in the second half there, but you know, some good stuff, can keep the ball on the ground. If he can limit the walks and maybe get that strikeout rate up to flirting with 9K per nine, I think it was just above 8 last year. There's some other names here that weren't on that list. Christopher Sanchez of Philly, Brendan Faught, I think, has got some upside, high fly ball rate, some walks, but I think he does have a high ceiling. A couple Cleveland guys, Tristan McKenzie, maybe Gavin Williams, Reed Detmers, Frankie Montas in the deepest of leagues. But of course, it's going to be playing in Cincinnati, which is not the best place for a pitcher there. Any other pitchers before we get out of here? I also got to bring up some future stuff with you as well. I mean, we can kind of just transition into that if you want.
Yeah,
there was a name
or
two that you.
I would circle late guys like Shoto Imanaga for sure. He's going around pick 200. Terrific pitcher in Japanese league. And not to mention, he's shown you he can handle the major league hitters because he did the WBC a couple years ago. So I don't have a lot of questions about him, but he's so much cheaper than Yamamoto is. Maybe we can argue about how different a pitcher he is, but still it's a huge discount difference for a guy who's relatively unknown. Aaron Civale is another guy I want to circle, because Civale is a pitcher that, you know, every time the Rays get their tentacles on a guy who's just kind of middling, but you see moments of he could be really good. Same thing with Zach Eflin. Same thing with guys. We can go back for the last 10 years. I always pay attention to it. And I did last year when it came to Eflin, and that was a good move. And I'm going to do the same thing now that they, you know, they got a hold of Savali last year. I feel like there's an opportunity here where you could see the best of him, because you look at their profile statistically, it's kind of similar heading into Tampa. Guys who, you know, kind of floating under a K per nine, guys floating around, you know, league average ERA. Next thing you know, these guys, you know, they get the best out of them. And I think his rotation spot is also pretty, you know, locked in there. Eduardo Rodriguez, another great signing for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Love that one, too. Yeah. So there's definitely some guys late that are definitely values on the pitching board.